You know how the guy grabbed the knife and he's licking it, trying mm-hmm. to show off?
And then he punched him.
Punched him. Was like, oh, that was good. That was good.
Welcome and thank you for watching your favorite podcast. This is your favorite podcast, The Maximum Filipino Show. Today we're doing a Afterflix. Afterflix is the review of your favorite shows. Is that say? Yep, it's recording. Favorite shows such as Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and things like that. Right now we're doing Disney Plus. This is a continuation of the third episode. Mm. We're like really late. Third episode of
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. That's right. Disney Plus original plus. I'm being joined by Waka. This is gonna be a very interesting podcast and a very interesting episode. I just found out that this is like we're halfway there. Halfway through the show.
Wow, that's short.
It is fairly short. That's exactly what you said. But we are
sad. That is so sad.
Well, we're doing this. We started the show started. I just had a small recap of what had happened.
Yeah.
So how did it start? What was the beginning? Do you remember?
I was going through a recap while he was setting up. So it started off where his ex-wife, I'm not sure if it's mom or not mom, but she goes set up her passport, a fake passport, real passport, can't remember.
Yeah.
And to go to Egypt to find her ex-husband or husband.
Husband. Soon to be ex-husband.
Yeah, soon to be ex-husband if everything goes the way it should. But yeah, that's how it started off, kicking off, talking about complaining about her husband doing this and that without her, and then the mom explaining about missing her dad and why are you doing this and that. I'm not sure what she's doing is legit or illegal. Do you think what she was doing is like a black market thing?
Oh, making the passport is 100% illegal.
But 110%. At the end of it all, it looked like a legit passport.
Yeah, I feel like that whole scene is like teaching us how to make a fake passport. It's like, hey, do you want to know how to make a fake passport? Yeah, watch this video.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how did y'all figure that out in Disney? I mean, aren't you supposed to be the greatest place in the world or the happiest place in the world? How did you know that?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
So the rumor was, since all these Disney original shows went to Disney Plus now, you know, the ones from Netflix, they are about to start an R-rated shows. I think that was the whole goal.
What's going on with y'all?
Well, I think it's because they absorb Marvel and Fox. So that's what's going
to
happen.
So they got to keep up with the audience. And
it's got to be because it's like I feel like Deadpool was a huge test for that R-rated films, you know? When Fox did Deadpool and R-rated and also Wolverine, it's like, let's see if people are going to like this because it's Marvel, and then let's launch it.
I'm starting to think, and this might be a crazy, far-stretched belief of mine, Mickey Mouse is the Antichrist.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even a very rare position because people already believe that, you know?
Really?
Well, oh, yeah.
At least I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone. And but you're anyway, probably not the first person. All right. So we went there. We are at the and then we ended up in Cairo, mm-hmm. right? Because we're already there. That's the end of the second episode with Mark Spector / Steven in Cairo,
mm-hmm.
Trying to find. We cut to the scene where Harlow was walking with a bunch of people, which actually reminds me a lot of the Bible, Exodus, you know, the Jewish people leaving Egypt to go to the Promised Land. Now Harlow is like the Moses leading people to the Promised Land, but it's in Egypt.
Harrow,
yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the parallelism in juxtaposition, they said. That's the word, juxtaposition of that whole
cool
scenes.
Christian?
Juxtaposition. Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've been wanting to use that that word, but I didn't have a
good timing.
Yeah, no. Juxtaposition. So they ended up finding Amit, right?
Yeah, they did find Amit, and he's with a group of people, a group of followers. I didn't think there were so many of them. I thought it was just that little small town, but apparently there's a portion of Egypt that is, which camera I'm looking at, portion of Egypt is that believes in Amit, And then the scene changes to where you see Mark Spector jumping roof to roof to look for someone who has info to look for Harrow.
Yeah.
But then he finds three people killing that.
Stab the dude that he's looking for. Yeah. I need to talk to that guy. Well, I guess I got to talk to you guys now.
So after recapping, I saw some cool favorite scenes, but we'll talk about that later. So he meets up with those three, and I low-key liked this episode because there were some scenes that I liked, but it's instead of Steven flipping with Mark, it's now Mark flipping with Steven. But then again, there was a scene later on when they were going through the chase between the three and Mark Spector / Steven. There's a gap in between their story that they don't remember whether it was Steven or Mark who killed the three.
Yeah.
And then
killed the two. And then the other kid. It was the kid.
And little do you know, it's probably that Khonshu has a means of possessing a body as well.
Mm-hmm. Or it may be a third person, you know? It might be the third person.
Well, with the split personalities, that might be true.
Yeah. So it's it a becomes very a vicious one. Personality, yeah. Because I don't think Steven would do that. Mark didn't do it, that's for sure. Because we've been looking at Mark's perspective the whole show.
It seems like Mark has some history of killing.
Yeah.
So that's why we assume it could have been Mark. But
that's what Steven said. Like, based on your track record and the people that you've killed, there's no, you know, you can't say that that's not you because you've been killing a lot of people. So but you can't say, you know.
Just that moment make you just think, wait, Mark doesn't remember killing or stabbing the two people and then. Whoa.
No, what's weird to me is when he wrote after the first Steven exorcism, when he took over his body, he was in a taxi. You know, Mark showed up and he was in a taxi. And then he saw two of the guys, you know, when he chased them. And they said, just leave us alone, bro. Like, what happened there? You know, because that's not. I don't think that Steven, like they were saying, they're portraying it was Steven because the driver said, oh, you can speak Arabic, you know?
Yeah.
But why do you act like you're a foreigner?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and I don't think that would be Steven.
Ooh. You really think there might be a third personality here?
Yeah, I think that might be a third personality.
And Khonshu is holding a secret off of it.
Yeah, of course we don't. We have no idea. We have no idea why or who that person was, you know what I mean? Mm. And what is Khonshu doing. But man, it's got to be a third person. Oh, yeah, we have no idea about Moon Knight because we didn't read the comic book.
Yeah, we don't. We completely don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea. So we're just going through what we think about the show itself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with that said, it's a potential that there's a third person that we don't know about.
Yeah, all that time I thought the third person was Khonshu because of that one scene that they didn't know. Both of them didn't know that who killed killed who. But maybe either a third personality. I hope there is a third one. That would be very interesting. And Khonshu knew it all along. Or maybe Khonshu is the one who took care of it.
Khonshu. Man, all right.
You're still struggling to say his name?
Khonshu, no, not anymore. I've been watching. I'm trying to pay attention to the name, and that way it works. Because for me to remember the name, I have to picture the name in my head and then read it. Yeah. So I think that's how you perceive things.
Who, me?
Yeah. You don't hear the words. You just read the words in your head. Yeah. That's how I memorize things.
So the next scene after that, it was they lost their information, didn't know where to go. So Mark asked Khonshu, so how about the gods? Why don't you ask the gods to help you out? Mm-hmm. And then that's where the transition scene to go into the chamber. Apparently, Steven knew what that chamber was. It was the Pyramid of Giza.
The inside, one of the Pyramid of Giza. Because it's not the tallest one, that's for sure. Because it looks tiny.
It does look tiny. But he didn't say one. It's just this, we're inside the Pyramid of Giza.
I know.
But it's a small looking pyramid. That's a chamber. And you meet the other avatars. I don't know that gods can take over avatars.
Right. This is interesting to me. So when Mark said, how about the rest of the gods? Won't they just help? It brought me back to, it's always bringing me back to, how about, because this is Marvel Cinematic Universe canon, you know what I mean? So that means Mark Spector / Khonshu, I almost said Khonshu again, Khonshu, and the rest of the Egyptian gods exist during Endgame and Infinity War. Where were they?
Right?
You know what I mean?
I think the way how they explain themselves, because when Khonshu was being trialed, or during the trial, Khonshu was telling them that he didn't try to abandon humanity. And then the gods reply back saying, no, we didn't abandon them. They abandoned us.
Yeah.
So they're just, in a sense, acting like Eternals. Somewhere down the line, how they revived them. Because I believe they were around when the Eternals were around. Because the Eternals...
Yeah, that's always like a mystery to me. That camera changed again. That's always like a mystery to me because it's like, were they there during Eternals? I mean, so the perceptive that we have about gods is they existed before, way before time, right? But that's not always the case, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, some gods are more powerful than other gods in the MCU, of course. And some gods are more eternal than other gods.
Yeah, the mixture of theology in the MCU or in the Marvel, it's really confusing. Because it makes it seem that the gods have their own play on how they rule the world or how they play with... Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll explain it later, how Khonshu messed with space and time, maybe? I'm not sure if time was messed with the universe.
I think it's just space. Like, literally, just the space.
Yeah, but being able... Because if what Steven said at the end... I know we're jumping towards the end. If Steven is true what he said, like, over time, you know, the stars are moving and changing... For him to reverse it back, I mean, he's moving back the whole universe, the whole galaxy, just to match up the stars of that time. Yeah. So, that's a big deal to me. I'm like, what's moving? Is it just an image? Like, did the sky become a camera just to rewind? Or did he actually move the universe back in time to the moment where the stars were positioned when they needed to look for
the map? I don't know, because I feel like... It can't be the time is, and that's the reason why the camera is jumping into different groups of people, because you don't see the facial features changing.
Usually,
you're going back in time, you see like someone who's old getting younger, you know, like Doctor Strange kind of thing with time. So I don't think that's how the case is. I think it's just just changing the space.
Yeah, but being able to move planets. Because, you know, some of those stars are planets or just as big as our sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to believe because their power has to be limited, but to be able to move the whole galaxy. I mean, because I'm connecting science legitimately. If he has the ability to move all of the stars and the planets all around the world to where it positioned the stars of that night, man. Khonshu and all the other gods there are pretty powerful, unless, like I said, he may have turned the outer rim of Earth, or the, I'm forgetting words now. Would you call that atmosphere? The atmosphere to just basically to a camera and just rewind it back to that time. I was like, okay, that makes sense to me. He can't move all stars and planets. I mean, is he able to move Asgard wherever it was at that time?
Yeah, I think it's just that I'm leaning towards it's just the camera, or just the screen of the sky.
Screen, okay. Yeah, if it's the screen of the sky, then that makes sense. Changing, yeah. Man, their power is limited. But going back to
because if you notice, it's just at night. It's not like night and day, and then night and day.
You're right.
You know what I mean? It's just at night, and the whole thing is just changing.
That makes sense. So screen of the sky. Mm-hmm. But man, everyone seeing that really ticked off the other gods.
Well, when he did the lunar eclipse the first time.
Yep.
And they were already a little bit mad at that. But
he got like banished, normal. Though. Okay, so Khonshu may have done something before to get banished among the gods. Because listening to their argument, Khonshu did something to piss them off. That's why they're not in good terms with the gods. Mm-hmm. Except for the music and harmony girl.
Hathor. Her name is Hathor.
I really believe that the gods are in it with
Amit.
Harrow. Otherwise, they're so stupid to be outsmarted by Harrow. I mean, how can they not notice or see that he's messing around to look for Ahmet. They're in Egypt now.
I don't think they are. So it's interesting, right? Going back to Khonshu. Khonshu's judgment is way too off. It's either that or he's just doing it on purpose, right? Like all of these things is just planned. The first one was with the kid. He said, put him on the edge, right? And he said, he's just a kid. He will talk. So he put him in there, and then the kid, you know, undead himself. And Khonshu's like, oh, I actually thought he's gonna say something. And then the second one was when Mark Spector got sent in there, Khonshu said, with the case that we have against Harrow, I know we're not gonna lose. You know what happened? He lost. You know,
yeah.
Like his place of judgment is just way too wrong, and he either underestimated everything or just it's part of the plan.
Yeah, either he's just being nonchalant. He's not taken too seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some moments where I see that he is serious about Harrow, but I think just Harrow ticks him off, and then other things, whatever he's doing to, you know, to get rid of Ahmet, he just seemed nonchalant. Like again, the kid says he'll talk, and then he cuts the scarf on his neck, and he falls to his grave. And then Ahmet nonchalantly said, "Oh, I thought he was going
to
talk."
Right, right. And then when we went inside of the Pyramid of Giza,
mm-hmm. Giza, yeah,
Giza, we saw Osiris. You know, we saw two of the most powerful and popular Egyptian gods. You have Osiris and Isis, which is not Isis, by the way. It's Isis. I actually thought it was Isis for a long time. It's like, oh, Isis, yeah.
And then there was Horus and
Horus and Isis, yeah.
Isis, Horus.
Hathor, and then the other chick. I forgot her name. So Osiris, Horus, and Isis are the three of the most popular Egyptian gods.
Mm.
And we saw them there. We had a trial on what's going on. This is what's interesting to me, right? The basis of... So we know Khonshu is all about... it's all about...
Judgment after
who done something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ahmet is about... I know that he's going to do something bad, so I'm going to punish him right now.
Mm.
Right? And two judgments that had happened when Khonshu said, it is so contradicting. He said, are we going to ignore it or are we not going to do something until it gets worse? Right? Which is totally opposite on what he believes, because what he believes is something must happen first and then judgment will take place. Yeah. And then Osiris looked at him and said, no, when he was talking to Mark Spector, because he said that, are you unwell? Yes, I'm unwell. I need help, but not as bad as this guy. He's a bad person. And then Osiris said he hasn't done anything wrong.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that. Then you're going to the contradiction of Ahmet or Harrow and Khonshu's
right.
Perspective on, you know, in principle on two different things. And then we went to, after that, we went and see this guy who's always, you know, there's always a guy who's half naked in MCU.
Well, before the half naked guy.
No matter what.
Hathor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it led up to that.
Yeah.
Basically, Hathor gave him a clue that looking for the sarcophagus.
Yeah, it's just an instruction on looking for this another sarcophagus that will lead us where Ahmet is in the location. Then we went and see this guy who's
half naked, like you said.
Who has a history with Layla in Madripoor. Where was Madripoor?
Somewhere in Egypt.
Where was Madripoor, bro? Where did you hear about Madripoor?
Madripoor. Am I supposed to know this? Because I
Madripoor, bro. Madripoor is crap. Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh.
Was it the accountant? The blonde chick, the Steven Rogers' nieces. She's like the head of that whole place.
Oh, really?
That city is called Madripoor.
I don't remember a desert.
No, it's not a desert. It was a whole city. Remember that Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right? Falcon and Winter Soldier, they went with...
Oh, no. I know what you mean. That was a whole city. I'm talking about where that scene when they're going to meet up that naked half guy, was that really part of Madripoor?
No, no. Layla and him had a history in Madripoor because she said the last time I saw you is in Madripoor.
Oh.
Yeah. So there was a history there from there.
That just went over my head. Yeah, I did not know
as
that.
As soon as he said, they said Madripoor, I'm like, oh, I know that place. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Okay. Man, that camera angle is still awful.
Sorry, viewers.
So we went there and we talked to the guy who's really seemed to be really into Layla. And the handshake part was a little awkward.
Yeah, it's like, I know, right? I was thinking that either he'll shake it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they led us into both. Like, oh, there's that long wait of, oh, maybe he's not going to shake. And then he shook.
Like, yeah, it's like he fixed his robe. I love that Mark said, I like his robe. Because he said, you know, because he's half naked. So he put on the robe. It's like, yeah, I like his robe. Yeah, that scene was a little weird. It's like, is he going to shake his hand or
I
not?
Know. It led us to both thinking.
Yeah, yeah. What else? And then while they're checking it, Steven is just smart. He knows a lot of things about Egyptian mythology and Egyptian culture. So they were, Layla was trying, you know, telling Mark, send out Steven, because, you know, she knows that he knows a lot of things. And then Haro show up.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me, because why does he need the body?
He doesn't need the body. He was trying to burn the map. Because that's what they were looking for, was a map to find. Because they already found it.
Yeah.
He was trying to avoid them from looking for it.
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose.
That dude, the half-naked dude, is so gullible. I guess it makes sense, though. Like, if you see something that magical and that crazy, you blow your mind, right? But the dude really destroyed the artifact that you're trying to save, and you didn't do anything. You know, like, he's showing off his power, remember? And the next thing you know, the whole... The treasure is the sarcophagus. Mm-hmm. The
sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
Yeah.
Sarcophagus. Okay. The dead, the mummified body of a person. Right. That is the treasure. And what Harold did, he just took Burned off and him. Gone.
Yeah, he disappeared.
He disappeared. And then the guy was like...
He was amazed.
That's awesome. Like, he didn't even do anything. Like, when Mark was trying to touch it, they wouldn't let him touch it, let alone the guy who destroyed
it. If Harold just waited, I mean, if just arrived 10, 20 seconds later, then maybe half-naked dude, sorry, I don't know your name, half-naked dude would have believed what they were looking for. Because, I mean, they stopped him, and then Mark said, look in the box. Go ahead and look.
Yeah.
So he went and looked, and then the moment he started looking, he got information that some third party was trying to get in.
Yeah.
And then there goes Harold. If Harold just waited 20 more seconds, he would have maybe cut a deal with Mark and the crew.
Yeah.
Because according to what I heard, who this guy was, he likes to preserve history and stuff like magical and stuff like that. So I guess he's like a conspiracist and he looks for stuff like that, basically.
And Harold tried to show him the beetle kind of map.
Yep, GPS. Try to trade. Oh, I thought he was trying to give him the, because he didn't need it anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, why look for
the clue if you have
treasure? Yeah.
And because the body is just the clue, right? Well, apparently it's not the body; it's like the piece of clothing that's around there.
Exactly.
That's the clue to pinpoint where the area is, but what he has is basically pointing out where the treasure, you know. It will definitely help him. And then we went there. The whole fighting scene happened. What do you feel about the fight scene? I watched it twice. What did you feel about it?
The fight scene there, I thought it was pretty cheesy. Okay, so going to the girls' fight with the big, tall, black dude. Like, bro. You get hurt. You get either you got hurt so bad. I get it if that was the case, or you got dead. When she took off her necklace and then stabbed you right here.
Yeah,
it's nowhere near the heart. It's painful, but he's like oh,
die. Yeah, like, yeah. That move reminds me a lot of Black Widow. That's like a Black Widow move, right? You know, like stab with the knee. the jump and knee stab. Yeah, that reminds me of Black Widow attack.
But she got beat so bad. Like, I thought she broke her back because when he... There was a scene where he picked her up or threw her. I don't know. She carried her body and threw her to the metal post that was on the triangle. And then, bah, drop. I was like, girl, you must have broken your back or something. Something hurt. And then, no, she goes up like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. Crack. Okay, well, that's the girl scene. And the fight scene with the mummy dude, Moon Knight. I forgot his name.
The mummy dude.
All right, Moon Knight goes into it was kind of corny. It was not a great fight per se. I did kind of like where Steven switches off. He's like, Steven, give me the body. Give me the body. So he switches his off and then try to calmly tell, "Okay, let's start over. Let's be friends. Let's chill, guys." And then he gets stabbed by a spear. He's like, "Okay, Mark, take over." Take over. Okay. Take over.
Yeah. And he didn't need to do anything. That whole stabbing thing reminds me of Naruto, you know, against Pain. With that whole thing. And he got stabbed. He's down. And then Layla, which is Hinata, got almost about to get stabbed. But in Naruto, she got stabbed. And then Naruto blew up.
I see.
Same thing with Moon Knight, you know.
I thought the fight was corny. I kid you not. And him being put down because of spears. Like, bro, you're a mummy. You shouldn't be hurt. I mean, you're mummified. I mean, unless you still feel pain or something.
Yeah. Is the armor, do you think, the mummified armor, do you think he has a healing ability?
Yes. According to Contra, he said it early on the episode. I think it was episode 2. About his healing ability. So he has a healing ability.
Yeah. Just the mummified. Because I think... when he was yelling for Layla, he removed his face mask. Mm-hmm. And you can see his face. What if you attack that face? I think he can get hurt. I think as long as you're covered by the armor, then you should be fine.
I believe that. So if he was to get hurt in the face, it will hurt until he covers himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and then from there they found the map. They talked to Khonshu again on what's going to happen. Hey, here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. I have another plan. Let's shift the whole sky to the exact point of time where it happened, and it will tell us. It's like it's a complete map. It will tell us, it pinpoint where the real location is. While that's happening, for some reason, the god felt like it's happening again. You know, there's not even like a preparation. Like they didn't even wait. They didn't even wait after they did the whole thing. It's like they can already sense like he's about to do something crazy. So we need to do. Like they already met up right away, you know.
Well, the whole process of moving the stars, you know, camera of the sky, shifting it to that point in time. It took a minute.
It shouldn't be like because they have the meetup, they have the ceremony.
Well, you know, this is my assumption, just to match up the time. So they happen to see the stars moving, the doors open, because remember the portal opens at any point in time or any point of place, and they walk into it. I don't think it will take that long for them to meet up from there.
Yeah.
So going through the door, I'm assuming that will probably take 30, 45 seconds to get there. And then another minute to walk down to the whatever they're standing at, and then start casting a spell.
Yeah, no, not I mean not like trying to have a conversation. All right, are we really gonna do this? Or it's like, oh, he's doing it. What do you think he's doing? Oh, he's shifting something. I can see it in every part of the world. All right, let's do something. All right, let's pick a rock. Which rock are we gonna use? You know, nothing like that. It's like the whole thing is just so instant that they already know. Oh, he's gonna do something crazy. Let's do the ceremony.
I think so, because Khonshu has a history of bad. He has a bad rep with them. He has a bad rep because they don't. How I understand it, they have beef with him. They don't like him.
No, but my the point that I'm trying to say is, when the lunar eclipse happened, there was a whole thing of the door opening, they're meeting up, and they're walking. You know what I mean? They're doing the whole like Osiris, Isis is here, and things like that, but. You know, you see the whole process of things. But with this one, they're already there.
Oh, I thought it was because they already warned him in the end of the, towards somewhere in the middle.
Do you really think like they meet there? You know, they'll be meeting there just to like, oh, he's about to do something anytime soon. So let's might as well wait here.
So if you think that way, then I really believe that they're in it with Harrow. They really want Amit back, unless they're just that stupid. That
I don't think so, because after that, which is a good segue, right after that, they talked to Harrow and said, you were right. He is unwell or something. Like, he's something wrong with him, you know? Like, if they were in it, the conversation would have been different.
So my deal is, why is Harrow involved? Like, this is between avatars. What does it have to do with Harrow? I get it because he was a former avatar, but there should have been a process. He's no longer among them. They should have erased his memory if they have the ability to do so, and then cast him back out to the civilization.
Who, Harrow?
Yeah.
This is what I think. Because Harrow mentioned this. He said, you've been obsessed with Amit for years, right, for a very long time. When this is just my opinion, and this is what I think, you know, my prediction. Khonshu was so obsessed with Amit and trying to stop Amit that when Harrow was his avatar telling him who Amit is and what's his ability and how bad is this Amit person is or this god, and Harrow studied more about Amit and figured out, and he got, you know, he got manipulated by Amit.
Well, I think that
you know what I mean, and that's how he got involved, because of Khonshu getting too obsessed with Amit, and he got his own avatar obsessed with Amit too. So Harrow did his own studies and got fooled by Amit, and now he broke away from Khonshu and became Amit's avatar. Which I don't think the god knows that he's Amit's avatar.
Yeah, I really believe he's being played by Amit or being used by Amit. But still, I mean, these are gods. They should have some way of feeling someone's resonating their energy or something like that. Which, I, because it was evident in the trial, in the chambers. That's what the word I'm looking for. You see their eyes changing as if they, that you can sense it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, but you have to remember, Amit is not alive. So there's no sense of Amit. There's no form of Amit. Like, Amit is, it's either dead or it's in a rock.
It's like there's a, I'm not sure if it's an anime or a movie. It's similar to where their aura is seeping out to let you know, hey, oh, almost like Shang-Chi. Like, the demon is sealed in the back.
Yeah.
But it was somehow some way of
communicating and talking. Yeah.
That's what it's reminding me of.
Right.
But what I'm, my point is that why is Harrow still involved, or how it got involved among them? I mean, well, I'll probably answer my question now, because he got possessed by, what's his name?
Not possessed. Amit. It's more like manipulated.
Being used by Amit.
You gotta remember the reason why he went inside the trial, right? The gods already know him. He used to be Khonshu's avatar, and when Osiris asked him, "Why are you doing this? You know, why did you call for a meeting?" Because he has a conspiracy theory that Harrow was trying to revive Amit, and that's when Osiris said, "That's a huge allegation. Let's call the person," and that's how they summon Harrow.
Okay, it's just involving, because what I'm believing is that gods are typically trying to stay away, like trying to be like the Eternals, don't get involved with the humans' history or their lifestyle and progression. But I mean, they got Harrow involved. I would assume that once you're done with your position as an avatar, like I said, they will erase your memory or do something and have you go back to the world as a normal person.
Yeah.
But why?
Your assumption is, I'm not saying it's incorrect, but we're just assuming. We don't know. We can only come up with a conclusion based on what they have right now.
Well, true. I'm probably just connecting other things from what I I've learned or read or thought, and it, just putting it together, that would make sense here and there. But yeah, this is different. But still,
because we there's no other avatar like Harrow out there that we can base it off. It's like, oh, this person used to be Khonshu's avatar, or this person used to be Amit's avatar. No, right. You know, there's nothing like that. You know what I mean? Because we could even say that it's like Doctor Strange in Kamar-Taj. You know, after you learn the ability, you can go out in the world with this, still the same ability. Remember that guy who's paralyzed?
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't know. We have no idea. The only thing that we know is that Osiris and the rest of the gods know that Harrow exists, and they let him know everything. That's about it. And as long as he's not doing something wrong, they will keep him.
Fair. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And there goes. And
after you said something about your favorite scene. What was your favorite scene in the show?
Well, now if we're talking about that. Oh, I love a few of it. So, you know, going back in the beginning, you know, the three guys. So they, before they were about to duke, they're doing a little dance move, showing off. They got some dance, and then there goes Mark and says, "Are we fighting or are we dancing? How are we doing this?"
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There's and it led up to the part where I was so happy that he did something that I expected anyone to do. You know how the guy grabbed the knife and he's licking it, trying to show off,
and then he punched him.
Punched him. I was like, "Oh, that was good. That was good." That was good. I really liked that one. And the reason why I like this episode is because it was similar to the first one where he's switching off with
Steven
and Mark. My second scenes that I like was the chamber, where when she was explaining to Mark, is like, "Did Khonshu tell you how this works?"
Right.
Like, no. Okay. So she's, you know, giving a heads up, like, it's going to feel weird, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
I liked how Mark, I don't know if it's just part of the act or they had to double the scene to overlap. I like how Mark, when he gets possessed by Khonshu speaking through him, you see, if you look at his face, you can tell that Mark is still confused why his mouth is moving on its own.
Yeah.
So I like how he, what's his name? Oswald? Not Oswald. Oscar... Isaac.
Yeah.
Oscar. I felt Oscar Isaac did a great job in the acting here, because he's that's kind of tough, where you're speaking out loud and at the same time your face expression seem like, I'm confused. What's my mouth doing on its own talking? If you watch that scene again, you'll probably notice. So I like that scene where he played it very well, of confusion and playing Khonshu at the same time.
Yeah.
What's another one that I like? I like how they played with the stars, how he moved the stars back. I wonder if that's true, though. I mean, it made sense scientifically. Just over thousands of years, the stars move from position. That makes sense. But yeah, I think those were like some of my cool scenes. I can't remember. I thought there was more, but the part where he gets hit by the knife, and then the whole scene during the chambers. Yeah. That was my favorite.
I agree. That whole chamber scene is really interesting, because we've never actually seen anything like that. You know, they don't have that in other mythology. Like, you know, with the Norse mythology, they don't have like a kind of a meeting where you can see the gods in there and talking.
The only one would be Greek. The Greek mythologies. They normally have
MCU.
Some... Oh, in MCU?
Yeah.
I forgot they are Norse, Thor and them. Yeah.
There's nothing like that. So to see all of those, it's kind of interesting. I want to know, what did they do during Endgame or Infinity War, I guess, because the snap happened in Infinity War. That whole 5 years, what did they do? You know, like that part is, I want to know what is the part of the Egyptian mythology, and what, like, did their avatar got snapped, so they had to choose a different one again? Because you know, because when Thanos snapped, he didn't pick and choose which one will disappear. So there's a possibility that one of their avatars disappear.
Right.
You know, like, how did that play out, and what did they do? Or did Khonshu got banished before because he tried to do something during the Infinity War? You know. Like, was he trying to stop Thanos because he knows something's gonna happen in the Earth, or something like that? Like, we still don't have an idea what he did. All we know is Khonshu is pro people. He's trying to save people, according to him, and the rest of the gods does not want to meld with people. Like, they don't want to do anything. Mm. Based on the MCU history, based on the other shows and TV movies, we could say that Khonshu might have done something during the Infinity War. Because, if you think about it, the rest of it doesn't really involve... Let me take it back. A lot of them involve a whole world decimation, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Ultron, it's of course, will make the whole world explode, but it involves just one city. You know what I mean? What else? You have... Even Shang-Chi can involve the whole world, the decimation of the whole world. Like, a lot of them, you know, the fight in New York, but it's just one area that it's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, Infinity War, everything happens in an instant in the whole universe. So there's possibility that because it's too big, that's when Khonshu showed up.
So involving and saying that has to include all other deity or higher beings. So, on the snap, since he wasn't picking or choosing who dies or not, it was just by random selection, but half of the universe, I also believe that even the so-called, whoever called them some gods, being snapped out of it and then coming back.
Yeah, but you have to have a soul for you to get snapped out. You have to have a soul. That was the whole idea of the snap.
To have a soul?
You have a soul, an existing soul.
So you think these gods are just an image?
I think it's either just a soul, but because if you say it's only the ones with the soul, we can say that how about animals? Do you think then that animals have soul? Because half of the animals do disappear, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for that, then it could be just anything in the universe in itself. I don't think the gods live in the universe. I don't think they exist in the universe. I think they exist outside of the universe. You know what I mean?
Interesting. That's an interesting thought. Because...
Yeah, because did the Asgardians got snapped? But they are part of the universe.
Yeah, I mean, they're now on Earth.
Yeah.
I would assume they got snapped too.
Who? The Egyptian gods?
The
Asgardians?
Or how do they actually call themselves? Because it was different in God of War. Ozak or Ozzy's?
Oh, I don't know.
Because it wasn't Asgardians. It was... Okay, anyway, yeah. Well, yeah. Let's stick to MCU terms. Yeah, Asgardians. I would believe... Because remember, they lost their planet and they moved to planet Earth. Now they're living somewhere off on... Somewhere that looked like... via Iceland or Greenland.
I think it's Denmark.
Denmark or somewhere in Europe, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the Vikings are.
So I would assume they got snapped too. They got involved with the snap. So, I mean, they have souls. They're people. But they just live longer than anyone else.
I don't know. It wasn't confirmed they got snapped. I know half of their, like, whole ship died.
They are part of half of the. They are part of the universe, though, right?
Right, but it wasn't explained, though. That's the thing.
Well, we can only make theories and
everything is just a theory. The reason why Thor was fat because people were blaming him that the half of the other ship got destroyed during Infinity War, the beginning of Infinity War, not because of the snap. You know what I mean?
They really blamed him.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were all blaming him.
I mean, didn't they not see he tried?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's always happens with the blaming part, you know?
Do you think they breathe in space?
The Asgardians, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. All right. Knowing that these guys have lived so long, I just wonder what were they doing during, you know, the whole history of Earth. Like, the Eternals were there in the beginning. Well, I don't know if they were in there in the beginning. Do you think they were in the beginning? No, I don't think so. Because when they arrived, based on the movie, the Eternals arrived when they were already some kind of people.
Yeah.
do you think that the Asgardians were much more older than them being there?
I don't know.
Because
that's a question for a comic book people.
Well, true. But they were playing with words even in the movie when we were watching Eternals the other day. They said 7,000 years from the time of when they were getting raided at Babylon, and then going to present day, Cersei was telling her boyfriend, I forgot his name, Mark?
Mark? Spectre?
No, her, who was talking to Blade, supposedly. She mentioned that from 7,000 years, I'm like, so they've been around 14,000 years? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think they made a slip on the timeline, or it's really that they're 14,000 years old. They just can't age. And for 14,000 years...
No. They're not. The Eternals are not 14,000 years old. They're way older than that. Because remember, what they do is that existing Eternals, characters from the movie Eternals, they were sent to different planets. And they, when they go to different missions, they erase their memory. That's why Angelina Jolie's character have memories of the other planets.
Well, I thought it was because they died in that planet and their memory gets sent to the warehouse.
Right.
I forgot. The world something.
Yeah.
The sent to the warehouse, mm-hmm. For them to study. So I thought they were just being transmitted upon death.
Yeah, but also, they just make them.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Just dolls.
That's why I wouldn't be surprised if they get destroyed on that planet.
Okay. We're going to a moral theoretical debate of what makes someone an existing person. So if you died and they preserve your brain and transfer it to someone else, would that be the same person?
Inhumanly speaking, yes.
So you'll still be the same person?
If you keep your memory, yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened to them. Their physical form died. Their physical doll, whatever you want to call that, because they're just factories in their world, right? And then they preserve their memories, and then they send them back to a different body of doll, because that old doll decimated. Died.
Oh, okay. No, so what I'm saying, because I don't think they get their memory back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow something went wrong with Angelina Jolie's character.
Thena.
Something went wrong with Thena's. Basically, she got malfunctioned on something. There was a glitch.
Yeah.
How I understood it, that their memory goes back to the world tree. I keep saying world tree. To the factory.
The HQ.
Yeah, their HQ. And according to Artemis or Artemis, they're the celestial being that created them. He said that.
Arishim.
Anyway, him. Mm-hmm. He said he'll create. He will use their memories to study and build them up again, and just send them out to another one. But I don't get it. But they don't retain their memory.
The idea of their memory is so there's the memory, right? Because that's how they connected with the Unimind. Because the celestial that's in on Earth, I forgot his name, connected with their Unimind, right? And it powers them up, and that's how their memory gets saved. When they died, when the whole planet explodes, right? Because it connects with them. Like, here's their memory and put it in the bank. What I think happens is that's why you have the Thena's memory glitching. It's because they put them in there. They tried to not erase it, but cut, Control X, cut, and copy. So it's still an existing HDDR or SSD, whatever you want to call that, storage. It's still the same storage.
Right.
You just cut that and paste it somewhere else, and you still now you go to a different planet with the same storage. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they don't give you a new one. They just copy paste it somewhere else.
Okay.
Cut and paste it somewhere
else.
I think that's how it works. And what happened to Thena is, when they cut and paste it, some of them leaked back in her memory.
Okay.
You know?
What?
So with that said, they are still the same existing being. Mm-hmm. So their age is not 14,000. Maybe physically, yes, but not memory-wise.
Okay. Well, 14,000 years on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. They've been on the planet 14,000 years. It just made me wonder, what were they, were they around when the other gods came to being, like the Egyptian gods? Apparently they exist in this world, but they did nothing. I mean, probably at some point in time of their history, they were something, but then...
Oh,
it's dying. Yeah. Well, they were something, but then they decided to leave because the people of Egypt decided to not believe in them or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there goes, I mean, there's Norse mythology, but the Norse gods are still around. Well, the only one that took care of Earth was Thor.
Thunder.
What I'm just trying to say that throughout the years that Earth has gone through, the history that Earth has gone through, the people, I mean, what were they doing? I mean, there are gods who love humans and there are gods who don't. I mean, do they really stick to the role of not messing around with human history? Like, the gods were there.
I don't know if they will answer this, but there probably one point in time when they were involved with humans and they decided not to be involved with humans anymore. I don't know. We're just putting all the assumptions in here. And you're asking the right questions. It's just, I don't think Disney is going to give us, or Marvel is going to give us that answer.
Yeah. We're just throwing out theories because I'm just trying to make sense of things. But these are just movies and series. I enjoy it. I'm having fun with this.
I ask questions about shows and movies, but your questionings are just... I don't even think there's an answer for any of those.
Sorry.
At least not for this show, you know?
Well, true. I mean, there's a lot of things that try to make sense because if there's a part two, if it was just part one, if it was just a simple movie, it's like, okay, it's a movie. But
At one point, they're going to connect everything, you know, with the Eternals and Moon Knight and all of that.
Right?
But for now... I don't think they have enough resources or information to connect any of those, you know?
I guess I'll wait this question till
like all of them are just standalone. Or it might not be answered at all. Like, look at, you know, we don't know who Groot is, what planet he came from, or he disappeared in Infinity War. Does that mean there's other more Groots out there? I thought their planet disappeared or got destroyed. Like, we have no idea. Like, what part of planet did Rocket Raccoon came from? Was he from Earth or other planet? And all we know is he got, you know, experimented and he became
who he is right now.
So we have no idea. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess you're right.
Some answers might not be answered at all. Some questions.
Some questions may not be answered.
Yeah.
You got a point. I guess it's just like to make people think, just, you know, get the curiosity going so they can fall into the rabbit hole and looking... You know, others who likes to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm asking this early. I could probably wait till the end of this whole series, but I want to ask now because I can't wait. What other gods do you think what other mythology are they going to pull up now?
Well, we know that it has been a big rumor that Egyptian mythology might show up. I'm going to scooch a little bit over. Egyptian mythology will show up eventually. That's because of the whole Zeus will be there.
Really?
Zeus will be introduced in MCU eventually. That's just a rumor. And they have to, because all these mythology that they're putting in with no Greek mythology is probably going to be a little letdown for all of us fans, you know? Because Greek mythology is one of the, if not the popular mythology out there.
True. And I do remember, like, when I was skimming through MCU stuff, and comic-wise, I did see Zeus, and apparently he's a good guy. I think he started off bad, but then became good. I can't remember.
Yeah, sure. That's in every mythological creatures.
Well, I know for sure Zeus will be involved. I hope Hercules will be there.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if they will introduce Hercules.
Well, it's going to be interesting. So far, I'm enjoying it. Sucks, though, going back into Moon Knight. We're halfway in. So I'm excited for what
they're giving us, like 40, 50 minutes per episode anyways. So I can see it just being 6-episode show.
How many episodes was it for Captain?
I have no idea.
The last one. The Captain Falcon?
And the Winter Soldier? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know. I'll have to look. But I'm not surprised if they only did six episodes. What I'm surprised is the rumor was there's no second season of Moon Knight and there's no second season of what was the other one that doesn't have? Loki has a second season. Mm-hmm. WandaVision has a second season. What If has a second season. I don't know about Falcon and Winter Soldier and...
Hawkeye?
Hawkeye doesn't have a second season.
I don't think it needs a second season. At least Hawkeye. I can't see it.
Well, if they continued with Fisk, then they should.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
That's true. Unless they're going to put it in a big movie.
Mm-hmm. Or they will put him in... they'll put Fisk with Daredevil. Yeah.
Daredevil.
Or Spider-Man. Well, I'll take that back. Spider-Man is Sony, so they're not going to put it in Disney.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Those were the things that I liked. Did you have any favorite scenes or any?
No, I think those are my favorite scenes. I like the way the show is giving us a different perspective now from Steven to Mark, now to Mark to Steven. It might be a third person. That would be my prediction, that there's a third personality that we don't know about. That's just one of my predictions of what's going to happen. So I like all that. I like the meeting of the gods. And this build-up with Amit, they're really dragging it. They're not dragging in a bad way, but they're building it up. There you go. That's the right term. They're building up the showness, or when they showed Amit and what he's going to look like, what is he going to do, or I think it's a she. Amit is a she.
Amit is a she.
They're gods. They probably don't have any genders.
That's true.
So Amit, when Amit shows up and what that god is going to do, and I just think Amit is going to kill Harrow, which is what normally happens when a powerful being manipulate or used a human creature for their benefit to summon them, and then once they summon them, that creature is like, oh, you're my god and my master, and then they will kill him. You know, it's apparent to a lot of not just MCU, but in almost every movies that it's like that. You know, I know Amit might kill Harrow or use Harrow completely, and Khonshu or Mark Spector will kill him with Amit. That will be, of course, we could say that might be the ending of the show. You know, Amit being defeated.
Yeah, that's apparent. Or it might bleed into... With all the magic going on, I'm getting a WandaVision vibe. I have a feeling they're going to blend in. Mm. With magic or time and stuff like that. I kind of, just like how WandaVision is blending in with... not WandaVision. Wanda is going to get involved with the next movie, Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. I kind of have a feeling that it might get involved in the next one.
Moon Knight will be in a different movie?
No. Like
Amit?
No, that there's going to be a crossover between Moon Knight and WandaVision.
Really?
Maybe not necessarily WandaVision. Mm-hmm. I feel Wanda might get involved with Moon Knight.
Hmm. I don't know.
I know it's a big stretch. It's just because it's dealing with magic, time, and witchcraft and stuff like that.
If anything, it will be with Kang, the Conqueror.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, it could be Loki and...
Loki and Kang the Conqueror are interchangeable because they were in the same show.
You mean a crossover between Loki and Wanda?
No, Loki and Moon Knight. Moon Knight. Or Kang and Moon Knight. Because I feel like that will be the whole...
That makes sense.
That will be the whole buildup is Kang because of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I believe that does make sense.
Yeah,
I just feel like one of these series are going to do a crossover because that's one of the big hype for series fans, especially like the missus. She liked how there's a crossover between
Station 19
and Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy. So I think they might do a crossover. I can't remember which one, but I feel like Moon Knight might include a crossover. If not, it'll be Loki and...
My thought on that one is, I think they want to build the shows first before they do crossover.
Mm, true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because some of the crossover doesn't happen until like probably season 3 or season 4.
They're going to do more shows until they like decide to do crossovers. If they do crossovers right now, I'm not surprised if they do. But leaning towards they're making more shows.
I mean, there's already... the multi-universe, so there's already a bunch of crossovers there.
Right, right.
I so far like Moon Knight. It's good. I feel like the climax is about to drop soon.
Yeah, the fighting scenes are just a little let down.
Yeah,
It's just a little let down. Maybe because we got spoiled by other fighting scenes from, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Hawkeye, or even What If. Like, we got all these fighting scenes that are really good, and then we went to Moon Knight, and since it's a new character and giving us new perspective on weapons and healing ability and flight and all that,
right.
It's probably like, oh, okay, there's nothing new in here. It'll probably be a different perspective if Moon Knight is the first Marvel show that we've seen.
True.
You know? That whole jumping, though, when he jumped from the sarcophagus.
He did it again.
Sarcophagus. When he jumped from the sarcophagus and he opened his cape, I'm like, that's a Batman move.
I know. I thought the same thing.
That's a Batman
move. Trying to show the crest. Was like, come on.
That's a Batman move. Come on.
Though the fighting superhero scenes were cheesy, I still have to give credit at least in this episode to Oscar Isaac with the acting, and at least showing different perspective. He still nails it of showing Steven and then showing Mark.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the acting. So
yeah,
kudos voices to you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that's it. If you enjoyed this podcast and if you enjoy Moon Knight, please let us know, subscribe and like, and tell us what we think. If you agree with all of our assumptions, any predictions, anything that you want to add on, comment down below. Email us, The Maximum Filipino Show. Come follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and all that good stuff. And yeah, we'll see you guys later on the next podcast. Bye.